The title of my message this morning is The Advocate. I was inspired to do a message on this from reading a book that my sister Dreema got me. It's called The Life in Christ by Martin Lloyd-Jones. It's a commentary on 1 John. It's a book about that thick, all on 1 John. And I'm going to have a few slides for you this morning. And the slides that I show you, the first three anyway, are quotes, direct quotes from Martin Lloyd-Jones. So we are going to be in 1 John today, chapter 2. We're only going to look at the first two verses in 1 John chapter 2. And then we're going to unpack it a little bit. He says, "My little children, I am writing you these things so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for those of the whole world." So the first quote, well, that's the scripture itself. I should have had that up there. This is the first quote. "There is no forgiveness except in the Lord Jesus Christ and through him." Okay? This is very, very important. It seems simple, but is extremely misunderstood. Now, I know that many of you have probably watched award shows from time to time. I used to watch a lot of award shows, but they've become so political and confusing, I just kind of don't even watch them anymore. But I've seen like award shows for movie stars or TV stars, or perhaps an award show for a great athlete, sports star. And sometimes they will thank people for helping them along the way. And a few of them will thank God. And some of them might talk about praying to God, but yet there's no mention of Jesus. No mention of Jesus. Now, there are many non-Christians who believe that if they do something they shouldn't, they can just pray to God and he'll forgive them. And that sounds good on the surface, but it's not true. It's actually not true. Here is his second quote. "There is no forgiveness of sin apart from the Lord Jesus Christ." Okay? So let's look at this. Hebrews 9:22. You don't necessarily need to go there. Hebrews 9:22. "According to the law, almost everything is purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness." Now, this is why in Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, those three books have, they're chock full of regulations and laws and sacrifices and offerings. Even the tabernacle itself was specifically dictated by God. Every detail of how to build that tabernacle was dictated by God to Moses and to those that were going to be doing the building. It had to be perfect down to the most minute detail. And all these sacrifices, and they had offerings, they had meal offerings and sin offerings and wave offerings and all these things. Now, the reason for this was because Jesus had not yet come yet, all right? And if the Israelites could have just looked upward and said, "God, forgive me," if they could have, they would have. But yet Jesus had not come yet. So these sacrifices were necessary just as temporary coverings, pointing towards something far better. And here's another quote from Martin Lloyd-Jones. "God gave all these regulations to these ancient people just to impress upon them this great truth, that he cannot forgive sin by just forgiving it." Now that sounds kind of weird. And some people say, well, why not? Well, why can't he? Because he is holy, because he is righteous, and because he is just. Again, Hebrews 9:22, "According to the law, almost everything is purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. But praise God, we have an advocate We have someone who will stand in the gap for us. We have someone who will represent us, someone who will intercede on our behalf. And he's the only one who can do it. We should never think, and this is another thing that people kind of, it's kind of a myth that people think about, especially non-Christians. They think that God the Father is out to get him. They think that he's up there waiting for someone to just sin, and then he's going to banish them to hell. But that's not the case at all. He is on our side. He is cheering us on. He is rooting for us, wanting nothing more than to welcome us into heaven. For the lost, he's wanting them to get saved. And for the saved, he's wanting a closer relationship all the time. He yearns to have a relationship with us. But it is his holiness and his justice that would condemn us, even us Christians, except for the saving grace of Jesus Christ, who is our great intercessor. Without the Lord Jesus Christ covering our sins with his blood, we cannot present ourselves to a holy God. And that is extremely important to think about. How many of you get to watch reruns of Leave It to Beaver? Comes on that one channel. There's usually two episodes back to back. Was watching an episode the other day, and Beaver had done something well playing football, and he was going to get to go to a sports banquet, and they were going to give him a plaque or an award or something. And he was really looking forward to it, and his father was excited to go with him. And they got out his sports jacket and his tie and all that, and he was fine with that. And he went to school the week before the banquet, and he was talking to his friends who would always get Beaver in trouble. If you watch Leave It to Beaver, it's his so-called friends that always get him in trouble. And somehow they got on the subject of what they were going to wear, and Beaver said he had to wear a sports coat and tie, and they all said, "There's no way I'm not wearing that stuff. There's no way I'm going to do that." And about seven or eight of them were laughing at Beaver. And so Beaver thought, "Oh, I'm going to be so out of place." So he goes home and he absolutely refuses to wear it. And his father cannot convince him. And he said, "Okay, Beef, it's your choice." So he just had a regular shirt on, a pair of pants, and they went to this fancy banquet. And when Beaver got there, all of those friends of his had sports jackets and ties on. He was the only one that didn't have a tie. And he looked around and they went over and sat down. It was a few minutes before the banquet was to start. And he said, "Dad, I don't feel so good. My stomach's bothering me." He says, "I want to go home." And so his dad said, "Okay, that's what you want." So they went out to the parking lot. And Beaver got in the car with his head down. And his dad went and opened the trunk. And he said, "Beaver, come here." "No, Dad, I don't feel very good." And he said, "Come here, I want to show you something." And he got out, and there he had a sports jacket and a tie. And he put it on him, and he went back into the banquet. So Beaver felt totally out of place because when he first went in there, he wasn't dressed like anybody else. And it's sort of the same of us Christians. When we have sin in our lives, you know, the fact we think of a holy God and we think about going to heaven, we don't want to go into heaven covered with sin, but it's Jesus Christ who covers us. But one of the reasons that the unsaved are not allowed into heaven is because they have sin in their lives and they cannot be in the presence of a holy God. So we need to present ourselves to God through the blood of Jesus who covers our sins. See, we have a heavenly Father who wants to forgive us. And we have an advocate on top of that who makes this possible by satisfying the Father's righteous requirement that our sins be punished. So God the Father wants us there so bad, but because he's holy, he can't be with sin. But we have an advocate who takes care of our sin. So they're both on our side. I remember back when I was in high school, it wasn't cool to be in the choir at that time, in my school at that time. And I did not sing at all from eighth grade on. I didn't sing at all. All I sang was at our church with the the hymnals, and I looked down. I couldn't hit those high notes anymore for some reason. And I looked down and I saw those notes down on that bottom clef. I didn't even know what it was, and I thought, those look interesting. And I started trying to sing them, and it sounded halfway decent, so that's what I started singing bass. So my freshman and sophomore years, I wasn't interested at all in singing in any kind of choir. And between my sophomore and junior years, my mom said, Vin, why don't we go out? They're having a summer chorus out at Rio Grande. Why don't we go out and sing in that? They said, anybody can sing in it that wants to. So the way they had it set up, like she said, volunteers could just go and sing in the choir whenever they wanted to. But the Grand Chorale members, and I wasn't even sure what the Grand Chorale was at the time, the Grand Chorale members, these kids were like semi-professionals in the sense that they did get a contract. Well, in their contract, they were supposed to, at least the ones that were local during the summer, they were expected to sing in this choir to help beef up the choir and help others. So there I am, and we're singing these arrangements, you know, these grand staffs that have all these parts in it, and I'm used to singing hymns. I'm like 3 pages behind everybody else because I'm trying to sing everybody's part because I don't know any better. And I had this guy beside me who was a Grand Chorale member. His name was Howard McDaniel. We became very close friends, and he helped me. He would say things like, Vinton, why are you singing this triple forte when it's pianissimo? And I go, I don't know. I didn't know what I was doing. And so throughout that summer, he just took me under his wing and showed me, and I learned quite a bit. And so like the last practice before our summer-ending concert, and the college was going to start in a couple weeks, he says, why don't you try out for Grand Chorale? I said, me? Try out for Grand Chorale? You got to be kidding me. I said, I'm not going to audition for that. I wouldn't make it. He said, yes, you would. No, I wouldn't. Yes, you would. No, I wouldn't. This went on for an hour. No, not right. And I finally said, well, what makes you so sure? He says, because Merlin asked me to ask you to try out. And I go, oh, that made all the difference in the world. And that's how our Heavenly Father is. He wants us. He wants us there. But I still had to audition. If I had said, well, I'm just too scared to audition, I'm not doing it, I would have never gotten into the group. I still had to audition. But I knew that if I did, I would be accepted. I knew that if I did, I'd be accepted. And when we let Jesus Christ take care of our sins, God the Father will accept us every single time. Back in the early 90s and late 80s, I'm showing my age now, I joined a gym in Pomeroy called Tiger Gym. I'll never forget that. And I walked in there the first day, and this guy comes up to me. He says, I'm not the owner or anything, but he said, I'm a regular here. He said, I'll show you around. And so he would show me different pieces of equipment, talking to me and everything. Turned out he was the mayor of Pomeroy. You know, really nice guy. And as I worked out there over and over again each day, I got to know more people and I made new friends. One of my best friends was the lead defense attorney in Pomeroy. Another one of my best friends was the prosecuting attorney in Pomeroy. And then I made other friends too. It even got to the point where the manager of the gym, I told him I wanted to do a double split routine, which means you work out in the morning before you go to work and then you work out in the evening. And I'd get up at 5 o'clock, get to the gym at 6, work out till 7, and be at work at 7:30. He said, we don't open that early. He said, but here's the keys. Just unlock it, come in, turn the furnace on, have your workout, lock it on your way out. So I had all these friends, and it was a great relationship. But I told somebody one time, I said, I'm really good friends with the defense attorney, the prosecuting attorney, and the judge. I feel pretty good. I think I could probably get away with a lot of stuff if I wanted to, you know. But isn't it comforting to know that you have a judge who loves you, who more than anything else wants you to be with him? And we have his very son who is your advocate, who takes your case to the Father. And if you're unsaved, this is the first time And when you accept Christ as your Savior, he goes to the Father and he says, here is one I've paid for his sins. And the Father looks at him and says, I can see that. He's covered with your blood. He's innocent in my sight. He's pure in my sight. And then once you're saved, he continues to intercede for you as a Christian. He continues each time our old nature kicks back up and we sin, he goes and he says, remember, I'm paying for these sins. 1 Timothy 2:4 says that God wants you to be saved. He wants you to be saved. He wants to welcome you into heaven. And the only thing that makes that possible is Jesus. Jesus makes it possible for God to welcome you into heaven and yet still be righteous and still be holy like God is. So the non-Christian can accept Christ. The non-Christian can know with confidence that he is saved and that God will accept him. And the Christian can know that throughout his life he continues all the time to have an advocate who'll stand with him in the presence of the Father. That's the other thing. Jesus, our advocate, is always in the presence of the Father. We can never lose our salvation because he is always interceding for us. So for those of you who know people who think you can lose your salvation, tell them this. Our advocate, Jesus, is always interceding for us in the presence of God. So how in the world can we lose our salvation? And in that second verse, it says, he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. That word propitiation, it means to present someone in a favorable light, to show someone in a favorable light. So Jesus takes our sin problem so that we can be looked upon favorably by God the Father. And furthermore, he is the propitiation for the whole world. So if you're a human, you qualify. Salvation is yours for the asking. And that's the point. You have to ask. Jesus told Nicodemus in John 3, you must be saved. Not maybe, not it's a good idea. You must be saved. But it's open to everyone in the world. And one more thing, he is the only one who can be our advocate. He is the only one who was qualified for the position. Why? How can I be so sure? Because he's the only one who died for my sins. Joseph Smith, the founder of the Mormons, he didn't die for my sins. Charles Taze Russell, the founder of the Jehovah's Witnesses, he didn't die for my sins. The Dalai Lama didn't die for my sins. Confucius didn't die for my sins. Buddha didn't die for my sins. And Muhammad didn't die for my sins. Only Jesus, the Christ, the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God, only he died for my and your sins. And that's the truth. And he is the truth. And the truth shall set you free. Let's pray. Dear Lord, so thankful, Lord, just so thankful that you sent your Son, your perfect Son, without blemish, to come and sacrifice himself and pay for my sins and the sins of all those that are here. So thankful that we have an advocate who is always in your presence, always speaking for us, always standing up for us. We are so thankful for that. We are so blessed for that. Maybe we want that for everyone else that we come into contact with. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Page 340 in your hymnals.
Most gracious Lord. benefit like you have, if you just want to pray for somebody else, or if you have a need or whatever, again, the altar is open.
I need thee every hour,
Father, we thank you, Lord, for all you've done for us, all you will do for us.